Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, you can do better than that? All right. Good. Let it be. So be it. As I was thinking about this today, I had a bunch of things going through my mind. How do I approach this? And the first thing I did was I was going to preach on the Romans. And I thought, well, that's part of the story, but the gospel is the other part of the story. And so I'm going to preach a little bit on Romans and spend more time in the gospel today. One of the things that happened when I was at the seminary, I took a class in Revelation, and Dr. Geishan taught it. Great class. And he gave us an assignment one time. He said, I want you to go through the prophecy in Revelation. I want you to go through the Roman Empire, find where that prophecy was fulfilled. I want you to go into the first 1,000 years of the church, find where the prophecy's been fulfilled. Go into the next 500 years of the church before the Reformation, find where the prophecy's been fulfilled. Then, go in from the past Revelation, find the prophecy where it's been fulfilled, and in the 20th century, past World War II, where the prophecy's been fulfilled. Interesting project, isn't it? And you know what? It's full of times when prophecy has been fulfilled. All right, so as I was thinking about this in that class, what meaning does that have for us today? Well, if the prophecy has been fulfilled in Revelation, we are in the end times, aren't we? So, does that mean that we are only in the end times now? Or has the end times been there since Jesus died on the cross? There's a good question, isn't it? You know, I can remember when I first came here, we didn't celebrate Advent. Advent is that 4 Sundays before Christmas where we celebrate the second coming of our Lord. Yes, we celebrate the coming of our Lord as a child. But the second coming. You know, if I asked all of you, why are you sitting here today? Well, you want the camaraderie as church. You want to be brothers and sisters. The word for that in Greek, koinonia. It's one of the foundations of the church. What it translates that is fellowship. Okay? But is that the only reason we're here? No. We're here to prepare for that second coming. So if we take 4 Sundays out of 52 to prepare for the second coming of Jesus, is it wrong? Actually, we should probably do that more, shouldn't we? Let me ask you this. Why do we worship on Sunday? Why is this the Lord's Day and not the Sabbath on Saturday? Yeah, I had to come from the two pastors, you know. Okay. It's because of the resurrection. You realize that every Sunday worship, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. He is risen. Hallelujah. So, you know, when we do this, that's not just Easter. It's the entire year. When we're in Lent and we have Sundays, is the Sunday part of Lent? Think about that. No, it's not. It's separate from Lent. Remember, Lent is 40 days, but yet from Ash Wednesday to Easter is 49 days. Why? You take out the Sundays because they're not part of Lent. When you start looking at this, things start making sense, don't they? So when we celebrate Christ's resurrection in here, we are preparing for the end times. Are the end times coming? I think I'm very scared that we are there. Okay, the Church of the Transfiguration in Odessa was hit by a massive missile and almost completely destroyed it. Church of the Resurrection, or I mean of the Transfiguration, was built in 400 A.D., 1,600 years ago. And the Russians actually did that on purpose. They sent 3 missiles to that cathedral. Why would you do that? especially if you're Russian Orthodox going against an Orthodox church. You're rejecting God, aren't you? You know, folks, we're not Orthodox, but you know that I come from a Russian background, and we actually were called, when I was a kid, the Russian Lutheran Church. Up home in Napier, Nebraska, they had a service in English, a service in German, and a service in Russian. So the pastor had to be able to speak all three languages. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because when we start looking at things, does God know national boundaries? No. God is everywhere. And so if this is our end times, is it possible that those end times might come after us too? I'm scared by that. If you want to pull up your bulletin, I want you to take a look at the end of Romans. I'm going to talk about this. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, and I'm in the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph down. And not only for the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons. What is Paul telling us here? Hey, German Lutheran. Okay. What is Paul telling us there? Interesting word, isn't it? Adoption as sons. Why are we being adopted as sons? Because he's the only begotten. We don't become sons of God till we come up to that baptismal font, do we? Now you got to remember, when we are baptized, it's an exorcism. We get rid of the bad spirits that are in us and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to remember, in our Lutheran service on that, there's a flood prayer that Luther wrote. Because baptism cleansed the earth, cleansed the people, just as much as the flood cleansed the earth. Exactly. You know, so when we start looking at that, that cleansing is important, isn't it? And that makes us eligible to be sons of God. He takes us into his family. We are adopted into the family of God. So, the redemption of our bodies. I find that one interesting. Why is it the redemption of our bodies and not the redemption of our souls or our spirits? What happens on the last day? The dead shall rise. So our bodies have to be redeemed too. Now remember, what does the word redeemed mean? Besides that, Sarah's right, it is set free. When you redeem something, remember the S&H green stamps, I use that as our example. Okay, there has to be a price paid. So, redeem means to ransom. So, when Jesus went to the cross, he redeemed us, yes? He paid the price for our sins. He ransomed us, as the Catechism says, from sin, death, and the power of the devil. You know, it's just basic. So without that, what do we have? Nothing. So if we are in the end times, is that nothing or is it everything? Okay, you following me in this line of reasoning today? Now, let's keep on going here. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. Now I find that one interesting, don't you? For it is in hope we are saved. By the way, epistles. I've told you this before. What do the word epistle stand for? We count it as that, but that's not what the word is. Epis. Hope. Because the epistles are our hope. It's the word made flesh. It's the word from God that is our hope. Okay? So, when we look at this, hope that is seen is not hope. So, I didn't bring my Bible in. Okay. When we have that Bible, Is that hope or is that truth? So, hope that is seen is not hope. It is truth. You following me on this? Okay. So now, as we get into this, who hopes for what he sees? Can you want that truth? Of course. That's why you're all here this morning. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. There is the hardest thing for all of us, is that patience. Yep. Say that as long as you brought it up. As long as we're talking about that, let's continue with that thought for just a minute. If we earn something, is that law or gospel?
Law.
Why? Because it's what we do instead of what we receive. Remember, gospel is what we receive. The only thing is, like when Jesus was on the Sermon on the Mount doing the Beatitudes, those are law. But yet if Jesus says it, are they law or gospel? Yes, they're both. Okay, because Jesus said it. It's one of those things I find very interesting. But getting back to what this is saying today, if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Patience. Yeah, I know. Part of the thing with patience that I always find interesting, it's in God's time, not ours. I've told you how I ended up here. Okay? You know, I went through two other calls, and as Pastor Dave Carrot from, I can't even think of the town. Anyway, it's not important. Anyway, I was talking to him. He was my campus pastor at UNO, and he was an intentional interim for the Missouri Synod. And I said, Dave, why didn't the Holy Spirit just put me here? He said, because the Holy Spirit wanted you to learn something. And you weren't ready to come here until you learned it. I said, okay, I can handle that. Because the thing is, the Holy Spirit is God's time. The patience on that is His time. And He will reveal it to us in His time. I don't know how many times that I prayed at night, say, all right, boss, I'm here. What do you want me to do? Okay, how do you want me to react to this? And you know, most of the time, he doesn't answer. But he does show it to me later on. And so as I look at this kind of stuff, you know, it's one of those things we have to be open to the Holy Spirit leading us in our lives. Now, if you notice, I don't have a green shirt on today, do I? What color is my shirt? It is in place. Yeah, that was pretty good, David. But part of the thing that we have. What is red represents what in the church? Holy Spirit. All right. So why do I have red on today? What is my sermon actually about? Holy Spirit. Okay. As we've talked in here before, when I was a kid, I never heard a sermon in the Lutheran Church on the Holy Spirit. Heard a lot about Jesus. But there's a Trinity. There's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Creation, redemption, what is this one? Sanctification. To be made holy. Without the Holy Spirit, can we be made holy? No. Set apart. I like that. That's good. All right, so let's look at this last paragraph here. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. We can't know. And if we pray for sometimes that we ask for something we shouldn't, the Holy Spirit, what's the next line? Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. But can't you imagine the Holy Spirit going, oy vey. Yeah. Well, what do you expect? Huh? But, you know, the thing is, I had an argument one time with a very staunch Christian. He said, God and Jesus always sit on the throne. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. True. Are they limited to that? No. I bet each one of us has met Jesus at one time in our lives. And I'll bet we have met the Holy Spirit. But you know who we have met that we haven't seen? The angels. The angels of the Lord. Look in the next one. Let's go to the end, because I've already been talking for 20 minutes, so I better behave here. Okay. And let's look at He Answered on page 4. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. Those of us who have been adopted into the family of God through baptism. Amen. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. Does the evil one come after us? Every day. This is not God's world. This is Satan's world. He is the god of this world. You know, that's what that parable is about. You're going to run into those kind of people that are trying to steal your joy and your love of God. How many times have you run into them? You can tell. Yeah, a lot. So when we get into this, the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. I just talked about today, this is the end times. And the reapers are angels. The reapers are angels. Who sends the angels to reap? God. Okay? Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. That's when things are going to be separated. John, when he talks about this in the Gospel of John, sets this whole thing up as a court case, doesn't he? Who's the judge? Jesus. Who's the defense attorney? The Holy Spirit. He's the one that stands up and talks for you. So at that time, do we as believers in Jesus Christ have to worry? No. We're saved. And part of the thing is that when we get into that, but I've done sins. Ask for forgiveness? Yep, they're forgiven. Have you forgiven yourself? There's the tough one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Remember what Luther said, and I preached on that? If we look at forgiveness as the cross, okay? The upper thing is what we receive from God. Okay? What do the cross arms mean? Reaching out. So, if we are forgiven, if we're given grace, if we're given forgiveness, and we have to let that out of us that way, what happens if we stop it? Does that forgiveness, grace, and all that go through us, or is it stopped? It's stopped. So, for us to be forgiven, what must we do? Forgive. And the thing is, there's the hardest one. And who do we start our forgiveness with? Ourselves. Your pastor has problems with that. I have other pastors in here who have chewed me out, especially on Friday. Am I right? Yeah. You know, retired pastor, as you can tell. Okay. Not Lutheran, but they're here because they hear the gospel. But, you know, when I get into this kind of stuff, forgiveness has to start with ourselves. And you know, it's just like, David, you said, remember the time I had a prayer on the list for me and I didn't do it? And you said, Pastor, you got to pray for yourself. And I said, I can't do it. And you said the prayer that day. Okay. And that's a problem that I deal with every day. But yet, I know, Gene. Yeah, well, you just feel guilty. I do. It doesn't. Everything is His will. And that's why I put it down on that, because His will is important to us, isn't it? Everything. That's right. And even Danny, that's what he was talking about, too. But you got to remember that many times we go back to the verbiage we were taught. But he and I have talked about that, and that's, I didn't go into it then. But that's part of the thing is, too, God's will for us is important. Pastor Danny said something that I've been thinking about. happiness is related to the word happen. All right, so happen means something happens to us that creates the happiness. Joy. Do we create joy, or is joy given to us? It's given to us. Interesting, isn't it? And that's something that I've been thinking about, and we've been talking about a lot. You know, so when we get out here, go into this last paragraph, and I'll bring it to a close here. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and lawbreakers. It's what Sarah was just talking about. And throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteousness will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Yep. You know, as we get into this kind of thing, don't you think that we all have trouble? You know, one of the things also it says in Mark is, you look but you do not see, you listen but you do not hear. And when you start looking at these kind of things, we hear God, but do we allow him to fill our being? Not as we should, and I agree. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that's right. Boy, you just hit me. You know, I had a talk with somebody this week that chewed me out on that too. But, you know, it's a learning thing. We're all here to learn, right? Because church is what? It's a hospital for sinners. This is where we learn how to accept that righteousness that is freely given to us. It's there. And it's, oh, I like that. His children, not a building. Folks, so as we've been learning today, that righteousness, that freedom in Christ comes to us from the cross. When we have that blood of the Lamb that was shed for us, what a great gift that was for us. The greatest. George? Okay. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for leading us into your will, to help us to know what we need to do to help our fellow man, to know what we do need to do for ourselves to follow your will, to allow us to look at ourselves, to pray for ourselves, to forgive ourselves, and be full sons of you. And may this blessing from the Holy Spirit keep our hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.